Finally, the closer, sharing episodes from our virtual happy hour, kicking off the virtual Next conference this year. Did this as a 90-minute live Facebook event. Yeah, something a little bit different. We do more of those in the future. But the last interview of the night, we saved this one for last, a great closer in Steve Anderson. If you don't know who Steve Anderson is, you need to stick around and listen. Also, check out his podcast, Profiles in Leadership. But Steve created, along with some friends, something called the Graham Sessions. We dig into what it is and what you can experience there. And then Steve shares three really powerful stories from a speech that he gave called I Believe in the Gray. And he delivered this at this previous Graham Sessions this year. And three really, really great stories that you and I definitely can learn from in your personal and professional lives. So dig in as Steve Anderson closes the virtual happy hour with us. Episode is brought to you by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, the leaders in orthopedic physical therapy practice. They're together. If you're looking to advance your practice, check out orthopt.org. Recently just gave away access to their current Concepts of Orthopedic Physical Therapy course, which is a perfect way to prepare for the OCS exam. So if you're thinking about that, who you're going to learn from, who you're going to learn with and prepare for that OCS exam to become a better orthopedic clinician, who better than the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy? Again, check out all they have to offer educationally at orthopedicpt.org. Also want to say thanks to our friends at Arias Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy and permanent placements as well. Check them out online at AUREUSmedical.com to see what they have that's perfect for you. AUREUSmedical.com. Find out where you can go and be a great therapist in this country of ours. Again, AUREUSmedical.com. Let's start the show.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world. This is the PT Pintcast. May I introduce?
Please allow me to introduce you to.
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
Welcome back to the show. We're this thing first time ever. I want to thank all of our guests, Jerry Durham, Johnny Owens, Kyle Kimbrell, Sky Donovan, Megan Brown, Tara Joannal, Matt Tubb, we just heard from, and Steve Anderson. Steve, welcome to the show. Welcome to this thing that we're trying out that you were nice enough to just jump in on with us. So thank you for having faith.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Steve Anderson, longtime physical therapist, but really, I think the thing that you're focusing on right now is the coaching of humans, the focus of leadership and how to take some people's experience. And I mean, leadership to me feels like a multiplier, how you take someone and be able to lead others and bring others up.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the first lesson in leadership is I feel as a leader, our first job is to help others learn and grow. And the more leaders you can create, the better organizations you can have. And it's just, it's something that's dear to my heart, something that I spent a lot of time on. And if I can share with that in any way with others, that brings me joy.
I love hearing how you put that. You've been doing this for a long time. We will let people know that, that Steve works with, it's Orange Dot. That's where people can find, right? At Steve Orange Dot. Talk a little bit about that. What who do you get to help and who do you get to work with there?
So Orange Dot Coaching is just, a part-time job for me in a sense. I do executive coaching. And what I do is I work with two groups mainly, the CEOs or leaders of companies, and then also with their executive teams to help them communicate together. And, I just feel one with any CEO or business owner at any level can always learn and grow and improve. And then the key is to build that team around you. As we all know, you can't do it alone. So you need a good team. And then how that team communicates is essential. And I think that's just something that the better you're at it, you can do. And the more knowledge your team can have in that area, you're just going to do better as an organization.
Yeah, well said. There's something I didn't mention, and it was on purpose in your intro. Working as a physical therapist, you've worked with therapists in clinic for a long time. But you also started something a number of years ago, which people might have heard of, which is kind of cool, right? This is almost like I called it Fight Club, I think, on our first episode, which is the Graham Sessions, which the first rule is like you're kind of not supposed to talk about it. So, of course, people break that first rule and also the second rule. tell people briefly for watching right now who might not know what Graham Sessions is, what you want it to be and what you think it is.
Yeah, well, it's not that we don't want to talk about it. It's just that what we tried to create was, it was a conference or a get together brought out by frustration at most of our association meetings, which are very, you know, Robert's rules or very tight agendas and very formal and time and all this kind of stuff. It just made it so hard to really talk about the issues. So we found ourselves late at night in bars having this really great deep conversations, but that isn't what everyone should hear and everyone should be a part of. So we put together the Graham Sessions, and basically what it is to get people together. And then we create an environment where you can be vulnerable and you can say what you want to say as an individual, not as an APTA board of director, not as the president of this or the owner of that, just an individual. And then we all protect each other, where we go back to our areas of influence and can say, this is what was talked about, but I'm not going to say this is what Jimmy said in the meeting, because I'm going to protect you. So we talk about the ideas, we learn from that, and then there's no outcome from the meeting. It's only to learn and understand and hear different perspectives. And then we go back to our areas of influence and take that information and do what we can to hopefully change the world.
It's definitely an interesting meeting, being at, you know, national conferences. And I tell people all the time, not paid by the APTA, but you should taste out a local meeting, a chapter meeting. You should check out a state meeting. You should check out NEXT, National Student Conclave, CSM. But there are a lot of different meetings, and Graham, I will use the word different for Graham Sessions. But there's a part of Graham Sessions, and I was lucky enough to go twice. Would love to make sure we keep this thing going so I can go again. There's a part of Graham Sessions, which is called the I Believe speeches. Talk a little bit about what those are, and then I want to get into one that you did.
Okay, so part of the program is, they're called What I Believe speeches. And they started out, we started calling them like mini TED Talks, but we were infringing on someone's brand there, so we had to change them. But basically, it's giving individuals, we ask them ahead of time so they have time to prepare, and it's 15 minutes or less to basically say, this is what I believe. And there's no expectations other than be provocative, make people a little uncomfortable, and let us hear something that we can learn from. And so that's all the requirements. And from there, we have 6 to 7 people each year that we do this. And in my opinion, they've really become kind of the highlight of the conference. And there's just been some really, really good ones.
Yeah. And so just so we know, Graham Sessions is with you, Patrick Graham, and Drew Boson. You guys came together and kind of formulated Graham Sessions.
Right.
But was the most recent Graham session, your I Believe in the Gray, was that your first time doing a What I Believe speech?
So what happened was, when we first started the Graham Sessions, I did a lot of the planning myself, which wasn't perfect. So now we have a planning committee. And so this year's planning committee said, hey, you know, you've been facilitating this meeting for 13 years and you've never done a What I Believe speech. So maybe this is the time. And I said, well, you know, maybe I was thinking about that could be my swan song. Maybe when I go out of the facilitator role or whatever. And Mike Horsfield said, yeah, but you might die before that.
Oh, so, man, Mike.
Okay, I'll do one this year. I didn't want to roll that dice, so I did one, and mine was entitled "Is I Believe in the Gray." And basically, the concept of that was, one of my opening lines was, "I believe that black and white thinking is threatening this profession and ruining our country, and we need to believe in the gray." And then I gave examples, one in business, one in sports, and one in politics. Of what I think that means.
Yeah, and I had asked you a little bit ago to come on and talk about this, because I got a chance to listen to it on your podcast, Profiles in Leadership, and we'll mention that in a little bit. I thought, I believe in the gray right now, what you just mentioned, black and white thinking is ruining the country, ruining the world. It's ruining things. Black and white thinking, I thought, now more than ever, that statement really has meaning.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, the events that are happening right now is just so disturbing, but it is that. It's that we're just so polarized. We're forced into thinking, you know, black or white on all these different issues, and it's everything in life. So to me, you know, different opinions can coexist. Yeah. I can sit there and talk to you and have a deep discussion and get down to the nitty gritty and be vulnerable and do all that and still disagree with you. But I'm listening and I'm trying to understand your perspective. And once I understand your perspective, maybe I think a little differently about it. That's to me what needs to happen. And in politics and even in our profession and other things, we're forced into thinking this way or that way. And there's no way that you could think both ways, which is kind of what I say. It's in the gray. I'm comfortable in the gray.
Yeah. And we learned that in PT school. I did at Marymount University, which is, it depends. And to me, it depends is believing in the gray. Some crazy guests where you can listen to I Believe in the Gray, the full speech. We could talk about this without you just delivering the full speech. And I didn't want you to do that. I want people to listen to it in its entirety, the way you delivered it at Profiles in Leadership at Steve's podcast on iTunes. Some crazy guests, Daniel Pink. If you don't know who Daniel Pink is, look him up. Rex Chapman, some leaders in physical therapy as well. But I wanted you to talk about just briefly the three stories that you told. You mentioned business, politics, and sports. Let's start with business and Daniel Pink.
Okay, well, in the interview I did with Daniel Pink, one of the things that he said, which I agree with, is if you look at CEOs that are running companies in our country over the last few decades, they are usually analytical thinkers. They come up mostly through the world of finance. So they're very black and white thinkers and left brain thinkers. So what you need to do is you just need to say, no, I think in the future, and he agrees, we both agree, that more companies in the future are going to be run by right brain thinkers. And that's getting into the gray. That's getting into the stuff that's frankly more difficult. But yet when you're dealing with the human component, the emotions and the experiences and whatever, you can't approach it black and white. It has to be done from a right brain thinking perspective. And so I do think that some of the companies now that you see that are the most admired right now, a lot of times are run by right brain thinkers that are bringing the human component into just as important as the financial outcome.
Yeah, I think the quote was something like spreadsheets just won't get it done. Or you'd said something. Yeah. I mean, I was too busy cheering when you said right brain people were smart. I love that because I consider myself a right brain.
I think the quote was something to the effect of you give me a team that communicates, that's dedicated, that trusts each other and work together, and I'll beat your spreadsheets and outcomes every day.
There it is right there. I was too busy cheering to actually listen to the quote because I was too busy thinking about the next thing because I'm a dreamer. I'm a creative. There's need for both, but it definitely could be and should be led by those creative thinkers as well in the future. We're going to need that. We're going to need that mental dexterity going forward.
Right. And don't get me wrong. You have to pay attention to the black and white things, but it just shouldn't be the focus or it shouldn't be the only thing that matters.
Love it. You went into a cool story that I remember seeing pictures of these two guys when I was younger, but I didn't realize significance about it. And it's the politics story with George Bush and Bono from U2.
Right. Well, the story, and I'll try not to take it out too long here, but basically Bono, as you know, is the lead singer of U2. And in the mid 2000s, he would go to his concerts and often pull out his cell phone and try and call the White House to talk to George Bush to complain about, his policies. So George heard about this. George W. heard about this and said, geez, I like you two and I like Bono. So I want to talk to him about it. So he invited him to the Oval Office. And when they got there, George W. handled it brilliantly in the way that he said, okay, let's talk about something. We have a chance to learn something from it. So we're not going to talk about Afghanistan and Iraq because we're not going to agree on that. So Let's talk about something that maybe we can find some common ground. So Bono said, okay. And so George said, so what do you want to talk about? And he goes, well, how about Africa? And so Bono said, okay, so educate me on Africa. So he told him about Africa and how the HIV virus was out of control and it was just getting bigger and bigger. And Bono's foundation, Red, was trying to help, but they just didn't have enough oomph on it. And so George W. said, well, what can I do? And he said, well, you can start a program from the U.S. government and support it and promote it. And so he started what's called PEPFAR. And between PEPFAR and Red Foundation, those two gentlemen are accredited for saving over 20 million lives in Africa. And so here you got two guys that were very black and white in their thinking, I would say, as opposed to each other. They came together, They found the common ground. They went into the gray, and they did something that we can all celebrate. And now those two guys are buddies. Every time you two goes through Texas, he spends a couple days at George W's ranch hanging out with his new buddy. And so it's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great, what can I learn? We might disagree about a lot of things, but is there something I can learn from you? And then maybe there's something that you can learn from me. Let's find that. Let's focus on there. And maybe we can build a bridge to something else tomorrow. Because when there's a little bit of understanding, we got a chance.
Exactly. You know, we all know that if we come from different religions, that we're not going to really talk deep about religion because it's going to go nowhere. But we can talk about sports, or we can talk about other things that maybe we can find some common ground and understand each other better.
I like that. And the last story that you had focused on, we went from business to politics and now sports. And ironically, business, money, industry, it's what things are founded on. Politics, it's how policy is made. To me, the sports story resonated beyond all of that.
Well, who would have guessed, you know, we'd be at this point right now. But, you know, the story was about Colin Kaepernick. And I said when I started into the speech, I said I hesitate in talking about this because people have such a visceral reaction to this. But Colin Kaepernick, as you know, would sit on the bench during the national anthem to protest how the black community was being treated in this country. And so Nate Boyer was a long snapper. He's actually trying to get onto the Seahawks. So I was aware of him. And he's also a Green Beret. And so it really offended him. And he did what we all should do in situations like this, is not, you know, just judge it and go on a crusade. But he said, I need to talk, I should talk to Colin about it. And so Colin had him come down there. They had a game that night in San Diego. And so he went down and they had like this 2-hour, very tense conversation. And they basically heard each other's perspectives. And then they agreed to disagree. Colin wasn't changing his position, but Nate wasn't changing his either. But they both felt they understood each other's position a little more. But what was interesting was Nate said, well, can you just do one thing for me? And he asked Colin, instead of sitting on the bench, to me, it looks like you don't care and that you're not part of your team. And you're just, you know, it really, really offends me. And for some reason, it offends me less if you would kneel. So could you just kneel? And Colin, because of this relationship they built, Colin said, okay, I can do that. And so that night at the game, Colin Kaepernick kneeled during the national anthem, and Nate Boyer stood right behind him with his hand over his heart and sang the national anthem. And for the rest of the time that Colin Kaepernick was in the NFL, he kneeled. And so, again, that's an example to me where it started out very black and white. They came together. They maybe didn't agree on anything, but there was some gray involved there. And because of that relationship they built in the conversation they had, Colin changed what he did slightly, but it made a difference.
I forgot that he sat.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows the kneeling now, and that story resonated with me. Those guys, and I like the fact that they didn't they agreed to disagree. They didn't agree. They didn't. It wasn't a Disney movie at the end.
No.
Something still happened.
And it rarely is. And that's the thing, is that, you know, again, that's a perfect example of two different perspectives and opinions can coexist and still be meaningful. It doesn't have to be black or white. It doesn't have to be you won or you won. And I think in the speech, I also said, it's not who wins. It's do what's right.
Yeah, that's right. And again, I believe in gray. You can hear that in its entirety on Steve's podcast. You're the last guest, so we can go as late as we want. So I want to talk about your show.
Yeah, everyone's either sleepy or drunk, but it's good.
you do profiles in leadership. You really, really do in depth. I would say you get in deep with the people that you talk to. Like you're really, this is a relationship build, but you're diving in deep. Why'd you decide to do a podcast? Why that?
Yeah, you know, it's really evolved. And, you know, I talked to you early on, Jimmy, because you were doing it so well. And thanks for your advice and things that you've done for me in this. And I started out by doing video, and I did video interviews. In fact, my interview with Daniel Pink is on both, you know, video and audio. But and people kept saying, well, why are you doing video? And I kind of said, well, because no one else is doing it. So it's kind of cool. But then I figured out why no one else is doing it, because it's really hard. I can't edit it myself because I'm not that technically skilled to do that. It costs a lot to get the video crew. You got to fly to where you're going, and it just became cumbersome. So I'll do the videos once in a while if I've got a really special guest that maybe I can justify, but most of the time I'm just doing the podcast. The other thing that changed was I started out with 30-minute interviews because everyone said, well, no one's going to listen past 30 minutes. But the feedback that I got from people was, gosh, just when you were, just when I was getting into it, it was over, and you keep going. And so I decided, okay, maybe that'll be my, differential advantage or differential thing that I'll just go longer. I mean, you know, people sit and listen to Joe Rogan for 3 hours. So, you know, maybe I can go for an hour. So now most of them are kind of in that hour range, and it gives you an opportunity to tell a little more in-depth stories and find out a little bit more. So, and I started out almost all physical therapy, but I branched out to do more business as well. So I'm doing a mix of PT leaders, but also, leaders, my most recent one is this, amazing guy who has won 13 world championships as a pizza chef.
Wow.
And what he does and what he does for his business is we can all learn from that.
Yeah.
It's really fun to do. I learned something that I do.
Profiles and leadership. Want to make sure people check that out. And ironically, like, people do ask me questions. Hey, I want to start a podcast, or, you know, what's your thoughts on this? Or, and that question is literally probably the first or second is, how long should episodes be? And I give literally a gray answer. I believe in the gray, which is the minute your interview or your conversation, it shouldn't be an interview, it should be a conversation. That's what profiles and leadership is. I try to be, it's a conversation. The minute the conversation's over, stop.
Yeah.
And delete the minute before that, right? So it might be like Joe Rogan. Why are some Joe Rogan episodes 3 hours? Because he's on a roll and he understands that. But if he's sitting there thinking like, well, the audience is probably checking out, get out.
Or as an interviewer, if you're really digging, oh, what should my next question be? What should I ask you now? If you're thinking that, it's time to quit too, because, you know, it should just be a natural discussion. So
yeah. And I'll tell people too, I pull back the curtain on how we do this show too. We give guests like a pre-interview, like questionnaire. And really what it is, it's an opportunity for you to let me know what's on your mind that moment. Right. So I always tell people I'm not even a podcast interviewer. I'm a batting practice pitcher. My goal is to literally, you loaded the bucket full of balls. My job is to give you nice and easy over the plate, so the audience wins. I don't win. I mean, I win because I get to sit here and ask any question I want, but the audience wins for that. And profiles and leadership, you're right. I mean, I would tell you go deep because you got some really, really great insight. You're loaded up with some good questions, and you got people with a story to tell. And storytelling is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really fun. It's my fun thing right now. People say, "Why do you do that?" It's, you don't make any money at it. You know, I don't have any sponsors yet. Whatever. And it's just because I really do enjoy it, and I look forward to each and every one. And as I said earlier, for me as an interviewer, I think I go in knowing quite a bit about my guest or whatever. I learn something new and exciting every single time.
I had a roommate in PT school who, when I first started this podcast, and again, I will credit a previous guest from tonight, Sky Donovan. When I kicked this idea to her, she literally had a blank expression on her face, and she's usually very animated. I was like, I'm thinking about doing a podcast, and she went blank. And I was like, that's not a good face. Yeah. She literally went blank because she's like, that's a great idea. And I had a roommate in PT school who asked me, you know, because I lucked out. I mean, episode 7 or something like that was Sharon Dunn. For some reason, Sharon Dunn took a flyer on a PT student. And he said to me, what are you going to do when you've already interviewed all the famous people in PT? And that was the moment, because I was a second career student. That was the moment I realized that he didn't know yet that you can learn something from anybody.
Exactly. And I think some of the best guests are some of those, you know, unsung heroes that, you know, not everybody knows about, and then they discover it's like, oh my gosh, this person's amazing. So that's our job. We need to dig out people from all walks of life that have something to say that can make a difference.
I got to ask you about this because I haven't had a chance. I didn't realize you had this guy on your show. So before I get to listen to Profiles and Leadership this episode, I want to hear from you. How was Rex Chapman?
It was amazing. you know, I don't know how many people know his story, but obviously he was a huge NBA star. He, you know, this is in the 90s. He's probably made over $30 million in his career, which maybe today doesn't sound like quite as much, but back then it was a lot of money. And he had a typical NBA career, and your earlier guest, you know, talked about injuries and how hard it is. And he had like 7 different surgeries, and he was nearing the end of his career. And then he had an appendicitis 14 games before the end of his career. And so they went in and they did surgery, and a surgeon gave him an opioid and basically said, well, this might be a little painful or whatever. So if you do, just, you know, pop one of these. And Rex said, I don't know why I took it, but he said at some point I did. And he goes, it didn't really do anything with the pain, but all my problems went away.
Wow.
And he said, the next thing I know, I was taking them all. And then I took some more. And his story is unbelievable, because he got as low as you can go. I don't know how he stayed alive. When you hear how much drug he was taking, you know, at the worst, it was, I don't even see how any human could even consume that. But you know, he you know, he lost his wife and his you know, relationship and his career and everything else. But you know, when I interviewed him, he came in and man, he looked so fit, and he was about, I believe about 3 years clean at that time. And, you know, and he's doing stuff just to help the community and the guy's back. So it's great to see. And it's a real ugly story, but it's a good success story. And so, and he was very open and very vulnerable in that interview.
Yeah. I heard part of his story. I'll be dead honest. The name sounded familiar, but I think a lot of people out there listening right now know Rex Chapman from his Twitter account. Dogs, bruh. Like they know that. And I remember thinking, like, why am I'm following this guy? Because the stuff he puts out was funny, right? Because I was like, I want some more of this. And then I was like, I feel like I know this guy, but I'm just going to follow him anyway. And that's ironically how a lot of, you know, social interactions go. And then I saw a part of his story on ESPN. And you know, this is his career was like ending like mid late 90s. I was probably like 18, 20. And I remember like, yeah, that name sounds familiar. But that story, if you want to see a story that teaches you something, he's living it.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're from Kentucky, he is a hero. He's a god in Kentucky, because he went to the University of Kentucky and he's from Kentucky. And they just think the world of him. And even though he went through that horrible time, they embrace him still. And so he's back in Kentucky where he's loved, and he's doing good things.
That's great. Profiles in Leadership. If you're a physical therapist and you're looking for insight, things you can't buy, you know, it's not, I feel like the way you tell it, or the way I should say you leverage the guests telling it, it's different than a book. It's definitely not a course. It's something very, very different. Personally, as a podcaster, I like it better. It feels more intimate to me. So definitely check out Profiles in Leadership with Steve Anderson. I want to thank you for taking a flyer on me, for inviting me to Graham Sessions right out of PT school. I appreciate that. Thanks for jumping on the show and doing this with us. And thanks for literally culling together so many different leaders and sharing those with people for free.
Well, thanks so much, Jimmy. It's been an honor to be on the show. And, you know, you're the gold standard in podcasting, so I try and listen and learn from you. So it's a fun thing to do. And I hope more people will listen, because there are some really good stories in there, and I got some great guests coming up. So it's a fun thing to do.
All right. Last thing we do on the show, Steve, tradition here, parting shot. What's something you want to leave as your mic drop moment as we conclude this 90-minute broadcast?
I'm just going to reinforce kind of what I already said, but embrace the gray. It's messier, but it's way more rewarding.
Yes, it is. The gray. That's where it is. I said it. Gray can be messy. Gray gives you options. You'll hear that. Another great episode right there on Profiles and Leadership. Steve, right now we can't be together in person. Hopefully we can be soon. I look forward to that, as well as all of you. Want to say thank you to everybody who's dropped by for the whole broadcast. I can't believe some of you guys stuck around and taking a listen to this hot mess of a podcast. Thank you to our sponsors. You see them in the corner. If you're looking for information about blood flow restriction rehabilitation training, you heard Johnny and Kyle. OwensRecoveryScience.com, Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy. If you're looking to advance your practice, that's it. And Arias Medical Staffing. You want to check those guys out if you're looking for a position full-time or travel. positions in all 50 states, all settings, AURUSmedical.com. Steve, thanks so much. And I look forward to having a conversation again in person sometime soon.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much. I am going to bring on two young ladies who didn't know I was going to do this. Thank you to producer Juliet and producer Bridget.
Hey.
You guys unsung, but now we're singing you. So you're sung heroes for the show. Producer Juliet in Arizona, graduating just past the NPTE. So let's hear it for Juliet.
Hi.
Congratulations.
Hi.
Graduating from AT Still University. Congratulations. And Bridget, first year student, 1 week left as a first year student at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut. Without these two young ladies, the show would not happen because I can only push one button at a time. That's all I'm mentally capable for. So these ladies were behind the scenes making sure the guests got on. That's great. So ladies, thank you so much. We appreciate everything that you do. Wow, we did it. Nothing monumentally wrong, except for my dog barking randomly in the back.
That's okay. It was so great.
Just to drop by for just a little bit. Yeah, he made an appearance. Thank you guys for taking a listen. If you'd like us to do this again, please drop a comment and let us know. Hey, like, hey, well, that was cool. Please let us know who you'd like to hear from in the future. Right, drop that comment. Also, the Koozie contest, want to mention that as well. Brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, brought to you by Arias, brought to you by the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapists. We're going to send out some of these koozies right to you. We've got 100 of them to give away. We want to mail one to you. So make sure you go to ptpinecast.com right now and get in the running for that. Ladies, parting shot from tonight's show. What do you got? I'm not going to put you on the spot or anything, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
No, with everything that's going on, just keep strong and move forward.
Love it. Bridget, what do you got? Parting shot.
There are a lot of different ways you can take PT, and they're all cool.
How far is it?
I don't know what I want to do.
I love how chill that was.
Students are so smart. I love it. Thank you guys for sticking around. Thank you guys for helping put on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you. And I think that's it. Let's just play the last thing and get this thing done with.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
Special thanks for supporting the virtual happy hour and for supporting the show goes to the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy, the leaders in orthopedic physical therapy practice with educational offerings on their website right now, orthopt.org. If you're looking to advance your clinical practice as an orthopedic physical therapist, wouldn't it feel great to know that the people that you're learning from are the leaders in the profession and they've been doing it for a long time and doing it the right way? That would feel great, right? Imagine that feeling and now go right to that website and you've got it. orthopt.org recently gave away a copy, access to the current concepts of the orthopedic physical therapy from the Academy of Orthopedic Physical Therapy to a lucky listener. So check out what they have if you're looking to advance your clinical practice by maybe taking the OCS exam. Yeah, current concepts of orthopedic physical therapy is a perfect preparation course for you. Go there now, see what they have to offer, orthopt.org. Again, go there now, orthopt.org.
Our home on the internet,
ptpintcast.com.
Created by Build PT. Build PT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what Build PT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.